الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وحده لا شريك له ولا نظير له ولا ند له ولا ضد له ولا مثل له ولا مثال له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأطيعوا الله ورسوله ولا تنازعوا فتفشلوا وتذهب ريحكم واصبروا إن الله مع الصابرين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أولى الناس بالله تعالى من بدأهم بالسلام أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected elders and brothers, Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has blessed us on this most auspicious occasion of the Laylatul Bara'ah, a night wherein Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala announces maghfirat and forgiveness for the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every single person, every single ummati of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been promised his maghfirat and his forgiveness on this night. Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib Nawarallahu Marqadahu of Jalalabad, on this 15th night of Shaban, many people used to witness him that he would spend the entire night in the ibadat and in the worship of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq that if we cannot spend the entire night, then at least major part of the night we spend it in the worship and in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our Hazrat Mufti Sahib Damat Barakatuh, whom he always advises, and he says, when it comes to these big nights, then we should start our ibadat from Maghrib. From Maghrib we start off because the auspiciousness of this night starts from Maghrib. At times Shaitan, he will try to mislead us in thinking that have a good rest and you wake up tahajjud time and you make your ibadat at the time of tahajjud. But at the time of tahajjud, he'll lull off us back to sleep until the time of fajr comes. And the entire night is then missed. Hence the ibadat on these auspicious nights should continue, should start off from the time of Maghrib. And the reason for this is that on this night here especially, the Hadith Sharif explains that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala descends to the first sky. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala makes announcement after announcement. هَلْ مِمْ مُسْتَغْفِرٍ فَأَغْفِرَ لَهُ. Anybody wants maghfirat and forgiveness, I will forgive you. هَلْ مِمْ مُسْتَرْزِقٍ فَأَرْزُقَهُ. Anybody wants risk and sustenance, ask me and I'll give you risk and sustenance. هَلْ مِمْ مُبْتَلًا فَأُعَافِيَهُ. Anybody in any difficulty or hardship, I'll remove that difficulty and hardship from you. Therefore, ulama-i-kiram say that this night is actually a night of dua. A night where you turn to Allah and beg to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially for these three things which the announcements are being made for maghfirat and forgiveness of our sins. This night is a night of istighfar and tawbah. A chance for us to turn to Allah and ask Allah ta'ala forgiveness for all our gunas and all our sins. In essence, in reality, head to toe, we are soaked in guna and sins. Every limb of ours is soaked in guna and sins. And this is an opportune moment for us to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. In the skies, there are many, many decisions that are being made on this night. It is mentioned in Fazail al-Sadaqat, as the Shaykh al-Hadith. He says, the malaika are busy with administration in the skies. Who's going to be born? Who'll die? Who'll get married? Who'll go for hajj? All these decisions are being taken. And at the same time, the deeds of man is taken up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this 15th night of Shaaban. So while decisions are being taken in the skies,
decisions should be taken on earth as well. And decisions with regards to our lives. How am I going to change my life? How am I going to come on the sunnah? How am I going to perform my salah with jamaat in the masjid? It is mentioned in a hadith that a person who reads his isha namaz with jamaat, and he reads his fajr namaz with jamaat, Allah gives him the reward of spending the entire night in the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. On this night especially, let's all of us try and read our fajr namaz with jamaat also in the masjid. We'll get the sawab and the reward of the whole 15 night of Shaban in the ibadat of Allah, even if we spend the night sleeping. Even if you spend the night sleeping, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still give us the reward of spending the entire night in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this 15th night of Shaban is a very, very special night in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all our akabir buzugan adin, they would spend the night in the ibadat, in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this night. This announcements that are being made, hal min mustaghfirin, anybody wants forgiveness, I'll forgive you, hal min mustarziqin, anybody wants rizq and sustenance. Anybody wants risk and sustenance, I'll provide you with risk and sustenance as well. So this is a night where we should beg Allah Ta'ala for risk as well. Allah bless me with barakat in my risk, in my sustenance. Person who's going through some financial problem, difficulty, this is a night to ask from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And hal min mubtalan fa'u'afiyahu. Anybody got any other problem, difficulty, hardship that he's going through, then this is a night to ask Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to take us out of the difficulty and hardship. Sometimes a person is, he's got, everyone has different problems. Someone has a problem with his health. Someone has a problem with his wealth. Someone has a problem with his children. Children have become disobedient. Someone has a marital problem. He and his wife are not getting along. Someone has a problem with his family members. Someone has a problem at work. Someone is not getting along with his employer. Employee relationship is not too good. Whatever difficulty and hardship we are going through, this is a night to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, I'll take you out of the difficulty and the hardship of yours. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she mentions that I saw Hazrat Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this Mubarak night. This is the 15th night of Shaban. I saw him in a very, very long sajda, very, very long sajda. He was in sajda to the extent that I thought that he passed away in sajda. She said, I went to actually feel his foot to see if he's alive or he had passed away. And when I saw some movement, I realized that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive. And in the sajda, he was reciting this dua, A'udhu bi'afrika min iqabik, wa'udhu bi'ridaka min sakhatik, wa'udhu bika minka jalla wajhuka la uhsi thanaan alayk, anta kama athnita ala nafsik. After Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed the namaz, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, Ya Rasulallah, I have never seen you make such a long sajda before. So Hazrat Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to Aisha, do you know what night it is? Do you know what night it is? Tonight is the 15th night of Shaban. Tonight is the 15th night of Shaban. And on this night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is prepared to forgive anybody who asks for forgiveness on this night. Anyone who asks for forgiveness, Allah is prepared to forgive him. And anyone who asks Allah for his mercy and rahmat, Allah is prepared to shower his rahmat and mercy upon such a person. So on this Mubarak night, it is a night for us to gather ourselves in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our buzugan adin, they advise us. You see, even at home, create some mahal, create some environment of ibadat at home. Get our families together. On this night, let's make ta'lim. Let's make ta'lim together as a family. Our elders tell us, ta'lim of fazaili amal, fazaili sadaqat. But on this night, especially get the family together. We all sit together, we read ta'lim. We get, after the ta'lim is over, make dhikrullah. After the dhikr is over, maybe read durud sharif for some time. After the durud is over, then we make dua. Then we read salatu tasbih. So elders tell us what we do is break up the ibadat. Otherwise what will happen if a person is just engaging in one ibadat, shaitan will make him feel very, very tired. Then he feels like, no, I'd rather go to sleep. But if you just change the ibadat, read salatu tasbih, then do ta'lim, then read durud sharif, then after that do some other zikrullah, read Quran sharif, read Yasin sharif, we change the ibadat around. We can spend as much of the night as we can in the ibadat and in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is with regards to this Mubarak night that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala really showers the ummah with his special rahmat and mercy. However, there is a hadith sharif that says that from the whole ummah there are few people who are deprived from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we won't go through all, but one particular person is a mushahin, a person who harbors enmity in his heart for other people. That is, in other words, he doesn't have a clean heart. His heart is very dirty, it's filthy, he's got bad feelings about people, he's got enmity in his heart because of some issue that happened between him and someone. Now he can't speak to that person, he can't make salam with him. If he's walking on the road and he sees him, he turns the other way and he walks around. That is called a mushahin, a person who is harboring ill feelings in his heart, enmity in his heart for others. Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali, who is known as Sayyidul Ta'ifa, the head of this whole caravan of the ulama-i Deoband, Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, in one letter that he wrote to Hazrat Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, he writes to him and he says, Mia Rashid Ahmad, yaad rakho, ye dil mahalla yakina nest. This heart is not a place to keep enmity and malice and hatred for people in it. Ye dil mahalla ma'rifat ilahiyast. That this heart is a place to keep the ma'rifat of Allah Ta'ala, not to keep enmity and hatred in our hearts for people. Hazrat Ji Mawlana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say it so nicely. He used to say, look at these little children, how they play with each other. They have some fight, they have some argument, 1 minute later they forgot about it. They're back together, they're friends and they're playing again. So he used to say it in such beautiful words. He say, ye bache, dekho unko, unka sina bekina. These hearts of theirs, they've got no malice in their hearts for anybody. Their hearts are completely clean. And this is what we should strive for. And on this night, especially to try and strive for this, Allah bless us with a clean heart. وَجَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran about this, that one outstanding quality in Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had a very clean heart. He had a very, very clean heart. No malice, hatred, jealousy in his heart for any single person. So the heart is extremely clean and pure. And many a times this ill feelings, Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakaria rahmatullah ali in his Fazail Ramzan. We sometimes take these Fazail kitabs, we take it very, very lightly. But these things are like encyclopedias of ilm and knowledge, encyclopedias of the Quran and the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with his footnotes and his explanations on the Hadith and the Quran. Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith rahmatullah ali in his Fazail Ramzan, he explains this, that how this kina and this enmity and hatred comes in the heart of a person. He says this comes about through this aspect of fighting and arguing. He says that many a times we don't even regard fighting and arguing to be a guna and a sin. He says we regard music, yeah, that will be a guna and a sin. If a person looks at something haram, that's regarded as a guna and a sin. If a person committed zina, that's regarded as a haram and a sin. But fighting and arguing is such a guna and a sin, we don't even regard it as a guna and a sin. And as Shaykhul Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Ali explains this, and he says this fighting and arguing amongst ourselves, sometimes husband and wife are fighting and arguing. Husband came home, wife asked him, he brought the bread and milk, I just forgot. And a fight starts. Why are you doing it? If your mother to ask you to go fetch the thing, you'll do it, but for me, you can't do it. Fight and arguing starts in the house between a husband and wife. Musallis in a masjid fighting and arguing. Brothers and sisters fighting and arguing. Family members fighting and arguing. This fighting and arguing, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, this is a means of all the barakat in our lives going. Losing all the barakat in our lives through this fighting and arguing. He says, Allah give us tawfiq. If only we can stop this fighting and arguing amongst ourselves. And he quotes that hadith of Laylatul Qadr, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew exactly the exact date of Laylatul Qadr, when it's going to take place. And he came out to inform the ummah. He came out to inform the sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum, that Allah has told me exactly which night is Laylatul Qadr. But as he came out, there was a fight and argument that took place between two people. And as a result, as a nahusat from this fight and argument, the knowledge of Laylatul Qadr was taken away from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and taken away from the ummah forever and forever. Never will the ummah know exactly when Laylatul Qadr will be on account of just one fight and one argument. So as the Shaykh al-Hadith Sahib rahmatullah alayhi says, we don't realize, but all the barakat in our lives disappear because of these fights and arguments. He says, how important it is for us to try and diffuse a fight and an argument, not to enhance and instigate a fight and an argument. Furthermore, as the Shaykh rahmatullah Ali writes, and he says once, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with the sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and he says to them, should I tell you something which is better than salah, better than fasting, better than sadaqah? Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum was surprised, Ya Rasulullah, better than salah, better than fasting, better than sadaqah, tell us what is that deed, what is that action? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that action which is better than salah, better than fasting, and better than sadaqah, is to have good relations amongst yourselves. To maintain a good relationship amongst yourselves as Muslims, as brothers, to keep that good relationship, this is the thing that is even better than salah, sadaqah, and fasting. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the thing that will destroy your deen is this arguments and fights. This thing is like a razor, like how a razor will shave off a person's hair. This razor will shave off a person's deen. He'll lose his deen, he'll destroy his entire deen through these fights and arguments. Therefore, he
He explains
that how important it is for us to be careful of what we say, what we speak, how we address a person, how we speak to a person. In a hadith sharif, it is mentioned that to insult a person, to disgrace a person, to insult him, to disgrace him, this is the worst form of usury and riba. The worst form of usury and riba is to insult a Muslim, to disgrace a Muslim. Furthermore, in the Quran Kareem, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala explains and he says, وَأَتِيءُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Obey Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't fight amongst yourselves. وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا. Don't fight amongst yourselves. You fight amongst yourselves, فَتَفْشَلُوا. Then what will happen is it will create problems amongst yourselves. وَتَزْهَبَ رِيحُكُمْ. And you lose your strength. وَصْبِرُوا. Allah says, just be patient. At the time now, when there's a fight and an argument, now a person had that fight, he said whatever he needed to say, and that person said whatever he needed to say, and now you all walked away and the fight is over. The fight is over there, but here in the mind there's a war. There's a war that's going to carry on for weeks and for months, that will continue in your salah, that war will be there. At home, that war will be in the mind. But he told me like this, and I should have told him like this. And how could he tell me something like this? And I'll tell him, the next time I'll tell him something like this, that war continues in the mind of a person. Such a war because of these fights and arguments, that the whole peace of mind and that understanding and that khushu and khuzu that a person had in his salah, all of this is lost on account of this fight and this argument. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just be patient, keep quiet. At that time, a person keeps quiet. The sukut and silence. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is mentioned that on the day of Qiyamah, the thing that will weigh the heaviest on the scale of deeds, the thing that will weigh the heaviest on the scale of deeds on the day of Qiyamah is the silence. Silence. Not a person said you something, he told you something. You could have told him 10 things back, but at that time you just remained silent and you walked away. That silence in the sight of Allah is very, very weighty on the scales of good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates the silence that you could have said something, but you just remain silent just to diffuse that fight. Once Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi's father, Hazrat Mawlana Yahya sahab, he had one kutub khana, one bookshop in Saharanpur. It was called Kutub Khana Yahyawi. This kutub khana, this bookshop that he had. And in this bookshop, Hazrat Mawlana used to be selling kitabs. He taught in a madrasa for many years in Mazahir Ulum. Never took a salary from the madrasa. He used to live off the sales of this bookshop of his that he had. So he used to get kitab orders, and Mawlana used to be busy parceling the orders, getting the orders ready. And one day, whilst he's busy making out the kitab orders, one person comes to the door of the bookshop, and he looks at Mawlana, and he starts insulting Mawlana, and he starts screaming at Mawlana, and he starts swearing Mawlana, and he's picking on Mawlana one way. Mawlana had a habit, he'll be reciting Quran Sharif, and he'll be busy with his kitab orders. And then Mawlana was a very jayyad hafiz. Very, very jayyad hafiz. His Quran Sharif he knew so well, he became hafiz at the age of 7. And at the age of 7, his father had one arrangement with him that every day after the Fajr Salah, you must come and sit on top of this roof and you must read the whole Quran Sharif. When you finish read the whole Quran, then we'll give you your breakfast. And he says, for 9 months, I continued with this tartib. He says, but after this, I never had to open the Quran Sharif again in my life. That's how well he knew his Quran Sharif thereafter. So he used to be reciting Quran, and he used to be making out his parcels. And while he's making out these kitab parcels, this person is busy swearing and insulting Mawlana. So Mawlana just gave him one look and carried on reading his Quran. He carried on doing his work. So there was one worker who was there. He used to work for Mawlana. He asked him, Mawlana, you can hear this man is swearing you like this. He's shouting at you like this. Has the saliva in your tongue dried up? Can't you answer him? Mawlana looked at the worker and Mawlana carried on his work also. So this worker got very upset. He said, Mawlana, you're treating me like how you're treating him now. How you're treating him, you're treating me like that. So Mawlana asked him, saliva in your tongue dried up? If you want, you answer him. I won't answer him. That silence. At the time when you can say something, just to keep quiet. One day, there was a marital problem. Husband and wife, they came to Hazrat Ji Mawlana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Husband came to Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali, complained that whenever I go home, there's always a fight at home. Wife and I always fighting. She has to say something, I have to say something. We're always fighting and arguing at home. And there's no moments of peace at home. Hazrat, can you give me one tawiz or some dumb water or something I can? So Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah Ali gave him some water. So you take this water. Whenever you're about to have this fight and argument, you take the water and you drink. You give her to drink, you drink this water both. But the secret of this water is you don't swallow it and you don't spit it out. You just keep it in your mouth like this. After 1 month, he came back. He said, Hazrat, alhamdulillah, the problem's all solved. that water you gave, that dumb water, perfect, it worked excellently. I say, no dumb water, this was normal water I gave you. The secret is just keeping quiet. When you keep put that water in your mouth, then you're not saying anything, she's not saying anything. So where is the fight going to ensue from here? So just to remain silent, to remain silent in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this way is very, very heavy. Otherwise we're going to fight, we're going to argue, we're going to say whatever we want to say, and then it leads to breaking off of ties. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, two people who had a fight and an argument, two people who had a fight and argument and they broke off ties. This one is walking his way, that one is walking his way. And they don't speak to each other. Then they're given a respite of 3 days. And within 3 days, if they cannot make up and they cannot make salam with each other and make maaf for whatever happened, they are going straight into the fire of Jahannam. They are going straight into the fire of Jahannam. That is why we have to lower ourselves to just to make maaf, ask for forgiveness. That if anything we did wrong, then there's nothing wrong in us just lowering ourselves and saying maaf. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, "Inna awla nasi billahi ta'ala man bada'ahum bis-salam," that the person who's the closest to Allah, the person who's the closest to Allah is that person who initiates the salam. So there's a problem between two brothers. They're not speaking, they're not, and one brother just lowers himself and he says, for the sake of Allah, let me just go and make salam to my brother. And he says, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Just to break the ice, he makes salam. That person is the closest to Allah. That person is the closest person to Allah because he lowered himself and he went and he asked for maaf. On a Monday and on a Thursday, the amal of this ummah is taken up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That this is what the ummah are engaged in, the good deeds and the bad deeds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an announcement to the malaika that forgive everybody, whoever is here and whatever wrongs they have done, then forgive everyone for the wrongs they have done, except for that person who had a fight and an argument with someone, and he hasn't yet patched up that relationship of his. Just leave him until he doesn't first ask for maaf and ask for forgiveness. Then don't make him maaf. Just leave his matter until he goes and patches up that relationship. So my respected elders and brothers, this is something that we have to try and see how we can enhance in our community, in our homes, in our families, enhance this aspect of muhabbat, enhance this aspect of love, life, like muhabbat. If there's muhabbat in a family, between husband and wife, there's muhabbat. Between the extended family, between brothers and sisters, there's muhabbat. In the extended family, between a person and his in-laws, there's muhabbat. Among the musallis in a masjid, there's muhabbat. If people who are working together in one institute or in one company, there's muhabbat. There's nothing like muhabbat. At the same time, if there's hatred and enmity, this is the worst thing in a person's life, is that he can't even come to the masjid nicely because there's no muhabbat amongst the people. So to try and enhance this muhabbat, Hazrat Maulana Umar Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali in the Markaz, when the Jamaat used to come back after spending 40 days or 4 months, Hazrat used to take karguzari from them. How was the effort? How was the work? And how you spent your time? So they would explain that, Hazrat, we went out in Jamaat. And mashallah, we got so many other jamaats ready. So many people went out in jamaat. 3-day jamaats, 40-day jamaats, 4 months jamaats got ready. And they went out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Mawlana Umar Sahib used to ask them, but I want to know from you all amongst yourselves, in this 40 days that you all went, was there any fights or arguments that took place between the satis in the jamaat? Or was there muhabbat and love amongst yourselves? You see, Hazrat, a lot of fights. Every day, this one fighting with that one, this one arguing with that one, this one fighting with the Amir Sahab. He don't want to listen. He's doing his own thing. So Hazrat used to say, "Phir ye jamaat kamyab nahi hai." Then this jamaat is not successful. Although you took out maybe a lot of jamaats that went out, but because of this fighting and arguing and problems that you had amongst yourself, this jamaat is not successful. On the other hand, sometimes the jamaat will come and they'll give karguzari. Hazrat, in the entire 4 months, wherever we went, we had a lot of difficulty and hardship. We tried to take out jamaats, but not one jamaat got ready to come out even for 3 days. We tried our best. We went for gash. We did the ta'lim, everything we did. I said, but tell me amongst yourselves, how was the muhabbat amongst yourselves? There's a lot of muhabbat and ikram. The brothers doing for each other, even if it's not their turn for khidmat, they are being on khidmat, they're helping each other. The muhabbat and the ikram amongst them was too much in this jamaat. I said, yeah, jamaat kamyab. This is a successful jamaat because there was muhabbat and love amongst them. So to try and enhance this, shaitan is going to try and instigate problems as much as possible. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, "Inna shaitana yanzaghu baynahum, inna shaitana kana lil insani aduwwan mubina." That the shaitan, he must create problems, he must instigate problems. But we must look beyond that. We mustn't fall into shaitan's trap and start fighting amongst ourselves and having issues amongst ourselves. We must look beyond that and try and just walk away from the argument. If there's somebody trying to pick a fight on us, Quran Sharif says it so nicely, وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. Person, he passes by a person and now this person wants to pick on him and pick a fight with him. Just respectfully, just walk away from there. Respectfully, just walk away from وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ. Nicely, just move away from this jahil person, this ignorant man who's trying to pick a fight on me. Why must I now roll my sleeves out, put my chest out and say, well, I can fight. If you want to fight, I can also fight. Just walk away from there. Allah Ta'ala loves this, that you're diffusing a problem. As Shaykh al-Hind, Mawlana Mahmud al-Hassan sahab, nawarallahu marqadahu, when he came back from Malta, he says to the ulama in Deoband, he says that in the years that I spent in the darkness of the jails of Malta, I learned two sabaks. And these two sabaks is the reason for the downfall of the ummah. The reason for the downfall of the ummah is in these two lessons. One is we've forgotten the Quran Sharif. One is we've forgotten the Quran Sharif. In other words, we're not reading the Quran every day. And now that Ramadan is coming, brothers, let's make this niyat, inshallah. We're going to try and recite as much Quran Sharif as possible. Let's start off from tonight on this big night. We try and read as much Quran Sharif as possible. The month of Ramadan is a month of the Quran. And as much of tilawat of Quran Sharif we can make, let's try and make during the month of Ramadan. So you see, this is the one reason for the downfall of the ummah, is that we've forgotten the Quran Sharif. And the second thing is this fighting and arguing and problem amongst ourselves. This is what is causing the downfall of the ummah. So to try and see how we can diffuse situations, in one hadith Sharif it is mentioned that shaitan, he puts his throne on the water and he calls all his little shaitans and he asks them, Karguzari, what you all did? And they say, no, we made this one speak lies and we made that one swear and we made this one smoke and we made this one do this and this one do that. Different wrongs. Shaitan says, yeah, alright, very good, very good, but not excellent, very good. Until one shaitan, he says, you know what I did? I went and I caused a fight and an argument between husband and wife. And they started arguing and they started fighting. I instigated a problem between them until eventually it became so furious and so hard and so harsh that the husband just announced 3 talaq on his wife. The wife is gone one side, the husband is gone one side. The shaitan calls the little shaitan, he says, you are like my khalifa. I love you too much. He hugs him to himself and he says, this, you are doing like my work you are doing. You are actually doing my work. This instigating problems amongst people is actually my work. And this is what I get. I'm so happy. You are like my khalifa here, doing exactly the work that I want to do. So this instigating problems, creating problems, we should try and walk away from it and try and diffuse issues. Not creative, because enmity and hatred in the heart of a person. And this is what causes a person to be deprived. Imagine on this night, Allah Ta'ala is prepared to forgive the entire ummah. Allah is prepared to forgive every single person. But that person who harbors malice and jealousy and hatred in his heart, such a person, Allah Ta'ala is not prepared to forgive him. The Quran Sharif says it so beautifully, وَلَا تَسْتَوِي الْحَسَنَةُ وَلَا السَّيِّئَةُ. Can you compare a good deed to a bad deed? Can it be equal? Never. A good way, a person in his approach is nice. In the way he speaks is nice. In his conduct with people he is good. Can that be equal to a person who is bad and nasty and harsh in his ways? It can never be equal. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Do that which is good, which is best. وَقُلْ لِعِبَادِي يَقُولُ الَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. When you speak, speak nicely. Learn to speak nicely. We're speaking, our speech also is good. In this way, we become the better person. There's an issue, there's a problem. We must be the better one. We must be the better person and see how we can avoid this problem and avoid this issue. So this is the lesson of Shab-e Barat. This is the lesson of Laylatul Barat. How we can try and clean this heart of ours. That this heart must be only for the love of Allah. Allah Ta'ala's love and muhabbat comes in the heart. If there's kina, bughz, adawat, enmity, hatred, jealousy in the heart of a person, the love of Allah cannot come in that heart. It cannot come in that heart that is filled with hatred and malice for people in his heart. We have to first do some load shedding. Shed that load from our hearts. Shed it out on this night. Make this deed. Allah, I forgive everybody. I forgive whoever did anything to me at any time. Allah, you my witness. I have made everyone maaf. I have forgiven everyone. Inshallah, by making this niyat and intention, Allah will also include us from those who will enjoy His maghfirat and His mercy on this night. So in this masjid, while we're sitting here, we can make this niyat right now as we're sitting here. Allah, we forgive everybody. We're not going to hold anything in our hearts. The Quran Sharif says, "Wal ya'fu wal yasfahu." Forgive and forget. Don't keep anything in the heart of a person. Look at us, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, how beautifully he says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ. He speaks about his brothers and he says, مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. When his brothers came and they needed help, Then he forgave them. He says, لا تسريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم وهو أرحم الراحمين. There's no blame on you today. May Allah forgive you all. Allah is most forgiving. Allah is most merciful. He could have said to them that, you know, now you're coming to me while I'm sitting here on the throne and I'm the king of Egypt. But you're always the same people who threw me in the well. You just couldn't see that father loved me more than he loved you all. You all were jealous. You all had hatred for me. And then you know what taklif I went through in my life? I was in a well. Then I was sold as a slave. Then I lived as a slave. Then I was in prison. I was accused. What difficulty and hardship I went. And now you see you in this position here because of all the taklif you gave me in your life. He never said anything like this. He just blamed the whole thing on shaitan. He said, shaitan is the one who instigated problems. Now we all are brothers. We all are brothers. We all are brothers, we live like brothers. So this is what we should also do, is have this in our heart, we forgive and forget. We hold nothing in our hearts, and we forgive every single person. This is the quality of a Muslim and a believer. This is the lesson of Laylatul Bara'ah. This is the lesson of Shab-e Barat, that how we can clean our hearts, and we can have that qalb-e salim. There's one incident about Sultanul Arifin, Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham Rahmatullah Ali, who is in our Chisti Silsila. Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham Rahmatullah Ali, one day was traveling on a ship. And whilst he was going on the ship, there were some youngsters that were there. They were poking fun with him. He was sitting and doing his ibadat, making his muraqabah, making his zikrullah. These youngsters, who thought great of themselves, they started instigating problems with him, pushing him around, old man. So when he stood up, they pushed him, he fell down on the floor. Another chap picked him up, gave him another smack, he fell down on the floor again. Now imagine old man, great buzurg like this, but it's treating him in such a bad way. So when he fell down after a few times, he heard a voice from the Asman saying, if you want, O Ibrahim, we'll drown the last one of them. We will drown the last one of them for the way they are treating you. So Ibrahim bin Adham Rahmatullah's reply was, O Allah, you have the power to drown all of them. But you have the power also to make them the greatest awliya of the time. Oh Allah, forgive them and make them the greatest awliya of the time. In a second, these same youngsters were transformed into the greatest walis of the time through the dua of Ibrahim bin Adham Rahmatullah Ali. Now such a heart, Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullah Ali, in one poetry of his, he says with regards to this incident, Shanidam ke maradani rahe khuda, dile dushmanaham nakardandatan, turake mayassar shawad I maqam, ke baadostanat khilafasto jang. Sheikh Saadi Rahmatullah Ali says, I've heard that the friends of Allah are such, they don't even hurt the hearts of their enemies. The friends of Allah are such, they don't even hurt the hearts of their enemies. Where are you aspiring to reach such stages? You're still fighting with your friends. Where are you trying to aspire such heights and such positions when you are still fighting with your friends? So this, my respected elders and friends, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq on this Mubarak night, that we can try and forgive one another. If there's any problem, any issue that ever took place between us with anyone, whether it's family members, whether it's whoever, then we make maaf on this night and we come out clean to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That Allah ta'ala forgive us. And Allah ta'ala forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana. And alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار أعوذ بعفوك من عقابك وأعوذ برضاك من سخطك وأعوذ بك منك جل وجهك لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك وغضبك والنار لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي
إلى آخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا راحم المساكين يا ذا القوة المتين يا أرحم الراحمين والله forgive our sins يا الله our major minor sins يا الله forgive all our gunas and all our sins يا الله والله we beg you يا الله on this Mubarak night on the 15th night of Shaaban والله when your mercy and rahmat is descending on the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam يا الله forgive us يا الله make our maghfirat oh Allah we seek your forgiveness يا الله we turn to you in repentance oh Allah we make tawbah to you يا الله Allah forgive us يا الله forgive our parents يا الله forgive our grandparents يا الله forgive our wives and children يا الله forgive our brothers and sisters يا الله forgive our ustads يا الله forgive our neighbors يا الله forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam oh Allah we beg you يا الله give us rizq tayyibah يا الله give us barakat in our rizq and our rozi يا الله oh Allah whoever is in any difficulty and hardship يا الله whether it is a health difficulty and hardship financial marital whatever problem يا الله remove us from all these difficulties and hardships يا الله oh Allah we beg you يا الله keep us with afiyat and ease يا الله whatever wrongs we have done يا الله forgive us for this يا الله keep us on the straight path يا الله let us die with iman and islam oh Allah oh Allah bless us at the time of mort and death يا الله let us read the kalima at the time of our death يا الله oh Allah make it easy for us on the day of qiyamah يا الله oh Allah bless us with jannatul firdaus oh Allah save us from the fire of jahannam يا الله oh Allah the month of ramadan is coming يا الله oh Allah bless us to see this mubarak month يا الله وبلغنا رمضان وبلغنا رمضان اللهم سلمنا لرمضان وسلم رمضان لنا وسلمه لنا متقبلا Allah give us توفيق يا الله we can spend Ramadan in a good manner يا الله where we can earn your muhabbat and your love يا الله give us توفيق of keeping our rozas nicely والله let us read our tarawih properly يا الله give us توفيق of reciting Quran Sharif abundantly making ذكر الله والله earning your special rahmat and your mercy and your blessings oh Allah والله forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم يا الله especially our brothers يا الله in Palestine والله make it easy for them يا الله remove the difficulties and hardships يا الله grant them ease and afiyat in every way يا الله والله bless them with aman and peace يا الله والله please يا الله grant them peace and khair and barakah يا الله والله remove all the problems and the difficulties oh Allah والله we beg you يا الله to shower your special rahmat and mercy upon us Allah have mercy on our marhumin يا الله all those who have passed away يا الله especially our ustad Hazrat Maulana Harun Sahab rahmatullah alayhi Allah forgive him grant him highest stages in jannatul firdaus oh Allah ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب